Hi, this is the March 4th, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of a four-month-old baby rhino, and the headline reads, "Can this rhino save its species?" Two baby rhinos give hope for the future of one of the world's most endangered animals. Life Science, the race to save rhinos. As you hear this article, think about why are the births of Indra and Angie so important? Words to know. Sanctuary, noun, a place that provides shelter or protection. Optimistic, adjective, confident that good things will happen. A Sumatran rhinoceros named Delilah slowly emerges from behind a thick canopy of trees. Trailing closely behind is her male calf, Indra. The mother and son splash around in a mud puddle before lying down side by side for a nap. Indra may seem like an ordinary rhino, but his birth last November at a sanctuary in Indonesia was cause for celebration. It followed the birth of another Sumatran rhino, a female named Angie, at the same sanctuary just 2 months before. Why were their births such big news? Sumatran rhinos are among the most endangered animals on Earth. By some estimates, fewer than 50 of them are left in the wild. Sumatran rhinos are really rare, says Stacy Struther of the International Rhino Foundation. So for this species, literally every single birth is a really big deal. Rhinos at risk. There are 5 rhino species spread out across Asia and Africa. In the early 1900s, as many as 500,000 roamed the wild. Today, that number is down to about 27,000. Sumatran rhinos are so rare, they're on the verge of becoming extinct. One of the main reasons all rhinos are in trouble is poaching. Hunters illegally kill these huge mammals for their horns, which can sell for $300,000 each. The horns are often ground into a powder and used in traditional Asian medicines. Many people mistakenly believe that rhino horns can cure cancer and treat a variety of ailments. In reality, the horns don't have any healing powers. They're made of keratin, the same material found in human hair and nails. Still, there's a big demand for rhino horns. Poachers shoot the animals and saw off their horns, leaving the bodies behind. Habitat loss is another major threat, especially for Sumatran rhinos. As the human population in Indonesia grows, more land is cleared to make room for roads, homes, and farmland. That leaves rhinos with fewer places to live. Plus, with so few rhinos in the wild, it's hard to keep the population growing. Saving a species. That's why the arrival of Indra and Angie was so important. They were born at the Sumatran Rhino Sanctuary. It was built in 1996 in the animal's natural habitat in Wai Kambas National Park. Veterinarians there run a breeding program to help restore the rhino population. Their goal is to eventually relocate the animals to the wild. Today, the sanctuary is home to 10 Sumatran rhinos. Armed guards protect the animals around the clock, and vets give them daily checkups. Struther says Indra and Angie are healthy and doing well. They're both growing fast. Angie already weighs about 300 pounds, and Indra weighs about 200. Their horns have started to appear, too. The calves have made Struther even more optimistic that the species can make a comeback. Rhinos have been on this planet for millions of years, she says. It's our responsibility to keep them here as long as possible. Get to know Sumatran rhinos. In the wild, they live only on 2 islands in Indonesia. Sumatran rhinos are the smallest of the 5 rhino species. Still, they can weigh up to 2,000 pounds and measure about 10 feet long. They're also the hairiest rhinos. Newborns often have full coats of hair. Adults are covered with patches of short, dark, stiff hair. Their horns are shorter than those of African rhinos. The front horn may be more than 2 feet long, but is usually much shorter. The second horn often looks like a small bump. History makers. Mabel Pinghua Lee. As you read this article, think about what made Mabel Pinghua Lee's life extraordinary. Words to know. Suffrage, noun, the right to vote. Discrimination, noun, unjust treatment based on differences such as gender, race, religion, or nationality. On May 4, 1912, more than 10,000 people took to the streets of New York City. They were marching in one of the biggest women's suffrage parades the nation had ever seen. A group of women on horseback led the sea of marchers. One of the leaders was a 16-year-old named Mabel Pinghua Lee. At the time, most women in the United States didn't have the right to vote. Like her fellow protesters, Lee thought it was unfair that women didn't have the same rights that men had. But as an immigrant from China, Lee had even fewer rights than most of the other marchers. In the early 20th century, women weren't respected, and immigrant women got even less respect, says Kathleen Cahill. She's a historian and author of a book about the role of women of color in the suffrage movement, Unfair Laws. Lee was born around 1896 in Guangzhou, China. When she was a kid, her family moved to the U.S. At the time, it was rare for Chinese immigrants to be allowed into the country. The U.S. government had passed the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882. In the decades before, thousands of Chinese immigrants had come to the U.S. to work in mines and help build railroads. Many Americans feared that these immigrant laborers were taking away jobs. In response, the Chinese Exclusion Act banned nearly everyone from China from entering the country. The law had exceptions for small numbers of people with certain jobs. Lee's parents were allowed to come to the U.S. because her father was a missionary and her mother was a teacher. They both worked at a church in New York City's Chinatown neighborhood. But the Lees and other Chinese immigrants couldn't become American citizens. That meant they weren't allowed to vote. Speaking up, despite the discrimination they faced, Lee's parents made sure their daughter understood the value of education. As a teenager, Lee began writing and speaking publicly about women's suffrage. She also believed that Chinese immigrants deserved to become citizens and have the right to vote. She hoped voting would give them a say in the important issues that affected their lives. Lee was the only Chinese student in her high school graduating class. She went on to earn degrees from Barnard College and Columbia University. Community leader. In New York, women finally won the right to vote in 1917. 3 years later, the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, or officially approved. It granted suffrage to women across the country. Lee wasn't among them, however. Most Chinese immigrants wouldn't be allowed to vote in the U.S. for several more decades. Still, Lee continued to work to improve the lives of Chinese immigrants. She founded a community center in Chinatown. It provided residents with health care, job training, and English classes. And she carried on her fight for women's rights until she died in 1966. Her story tells us a lot about the struggles women and immigrants faced, says Cahill. She's somebody who deserves to be remembered. She lived an extraordinary life. Let us vote. It took decades of struggle for women in the U.S. to gain the right to vote. In the 1800s and early 1900s, women weren't allowed to vote in most states. Some were even arrested for attempting to cast a ballot. Many women were frustrated and spoke out, including teenager Mabel Ping-Hua Lee. In May 1912, they organized a suffrage parade in New York City. Lee led the way. Protests like this one helped women across the U.S. finally gain the right to vote. Sports news. Breaking the ice. On January 1, hockey fans packed the stands at the Matamy Athletic Center in Toronto, Canada. They were there to watch the puck hit the ice in the first game of the Professional Women's Hockey League, PWHL, Six teams are battling it out in the PWHL, three from the United States and three from Canada. It's the first pro women's hockey league since 2019 to include all the best players from both countries. Compared with previous women's leagues, the PWHL offers players better pay and more opportunities to be seen by bigger audiences. I feel very grateful to be a part of a league that supports its players as much as this one does, says Taylor Heiss, a forward on PWHL Minnesota. Heiss was the first player selected in the PWHL draft. She says being chosen by the team in her home state made the honor even more special. Heiss loves seeing girls in the stands at her games holding signs that read, quote, her story, end quote, instead of history. And she enjoys spending hours signing autographs after each game. To be someone that young girls get to look up to has been an honor for me, Heiss says. She hopes the PWHL will inspire the next generation of athletes. When I was about 9 or 10 and I realized hockey was my passion, there wasn't a professional league for women in the U.S., she says. I'm living the dream right now. Say cheese! If you think only humans take selfies, think again. A pair of rats named Arthur and Augustin learned to take them too, with the help of French photographer Augustin Lignier. Lignier put the rats in a tall, clear box with a camera attached to it. When they pressed a button inside the box, the rats were rewarded with sugar. At the same time, the camera took a photo. The rat's selfies were then displayed on a screen in front of them. Eventually, the pair kept pressing the button even when there was no sugar. They ended up taking hundreds of photos. Linier says seeing the rats take selfies was, quote, magical, unquote. I was as proud of them as a mom or a father is proud of a son or a daughter who starts to walk, he says. Debate it. Should you pay more for sugary drinks? In Boulder, Colorado, you have to pay extra for your favorite sports drink. It's one of several U.S. cities where shoppers are charged an extra tax when they buy soda, sweetened teas, and other sugary drinks. The tax is usually a penny or two per ounce. That means that the price of a regular-sized can of soda, for example, goes up by as much as 24 cents. The tax is meant to discourage people from buying drinks that are loaded with sugar and have little nutritional value. A recent study found that the plan is working. In 5 cities with the extra tax, sales of sweetened drinks dropped by 33%. By buying less of these products, people aren't consuming as much sugar as they would otherwise, says Scott Kaplan. He's one of the authors of the study. Nutrition experts say that's a good thing. Drinking too much sugary beverages increases the risk of type 2 diabetes and other health problems. But other people think putting an extra tax on sugary drinks won't do much to improve people's health. They argue that it's better to encourage Americans to make lifestyle changes, like exercising more often. Here's what 2 of our readers think. Kinsley Schlomer from Arkansas says, yes, sugary beverages aren't healthy for us, but a survey found that about 6 in 10 kids drink at least 1 sweetened beverage a day. Just 1 serving of a sugary drink daily could put you at higher risk for heart disease, according to the American Heart Association. That's scary. An extra tax would make sugary drinks more expensive, so fewer people might buy them. They might start choosing better options like water and get healthier in the process. Tomas King from New York says, no. If the government wants people to be healthier, forcing them to pay more for sweetened drinks isn't the answer. Many other treats are unhealthy, so singling out sugary drinks doesn't make sense. What we eat and drink is a personal choice, and we shouldn't be punished for it. Why not lower the prices of healthy foods, like fruits, instead? Also, teaching people to build healthy habits, like taking daily walks, would be more beneficial than making them pay more taxes. Meet more rhinos. News review. The Sumatran rhino was one of 5 types of rhinos. Here are the other 4. The white rhino. Number left, fewer than 16,000. Home continent, Africa. An adult male can weigh more than 6,000 pounds. Among land mammals, only elephants are heavier. Despite its name, this rhino is actually gray. The greater one-horned. Number left, about 4,000. Home continent, Asia. Second in size to the white rhino, this species got its name because of its single horn. It is also known as the Indian rhino. Javan. Number left, about 70. Home continent, Asia. This one-horned rhino is found only in 1 national park on the island of Java in Indonesia. The black rhino. Number left, about 6,000. Home continent, Africa. Like white rhinos, black rhinos are gray. Dried mud on their skin often makes them look much darker. On the last page, there's an infographic about meeting more types of rhinos. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also other questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the March 4th, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.